Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Proposed deal for Nippon Steel of Japan to buy U.S. Steel. That leaves the decision up to President Biden, who has been a longtime opponent of the proposal. On this Christmas Eve, a winter storm moving into the Northeast, bringing ice and snow to several states. Here's ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
Several inches of snow in upstate New York and into northern New England, maybe even up to a half foot of snow. That snow is right to the I-95 corridor by the morning hours. I could see some coatings to maybe an inch all the way down to the coast. We are concerned about winter weather alerts in Philly and Baltimore and D.C. for a glaze of ice, so be super careful with your travel into the morning hours.
In Santa Cruz, California, a man died after he was trapped by a large wave beneath debris on a beach, that amid a major storm that's pummeling the West Coast. 12 people were killed, 4 injured in an explosion in an armament factory in northwest Turkey. This is ABC News. President Biden has 15 days to decide whether to allow Japan to purchase U.S. steel. A government panel on Monday, failing to reach consensus on a possible national security risk of the proposed deal worth nearly $15 billion. Both President Biden and President-elect Trump have vowed to block the sale, concerned over foreign ownership of a flagship American company. A high-profile legal proceeding is now officially over.
New Mexico prosecutors are giving up their attempts to revive the involuntary manslaughter case against Alec Baldwin. In July, a judge dismissed charges in the killing of a cinematographer on the set of the film Rust, saying the state withheld evidence which could have helped Baldwin's defense. Prosecutors have now backed off of an appeal due to what they call several barriers. Baldwin's attorneys call the prosecution's move final vindication.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. The Starbucks barista strike now in its fifth and final day. Workers at hundreds of stores across the country are preparing to join in. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers shut out the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was Green Bay over New Orleans at Lambeau Field 34-0. I asked safety Xavier McKinney what's been the difference in the Packers' defense.
Our disguise is fooling a lot of these quarterbacks, and especially somebody like him. He's a young quarterback. He hasn't seen a lot of things yet. He hadn't got a lot of experience. So, like, when we disguise him, man, they don't know what they're seeing.
The Saints now fall to 5-10. Quarterback Spencer Rattler after the loss.
Just embarrassing. Put it on myself. Played not good at all. Just didn't have any answers.
NBA, the Bucks over the Bulls, 112-91. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard giving the night off. Bobby Portis with 19 points, 13 rebounds.
Obviously, Dame and Giannis out. I know the severity of the situation. You have to step up, and it's always next man up mentality. So I'm always a confident guy, but I know with those two, I'll have to, you know, shoulder just a little bit more.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In trying to make Christmas sexy news, Kim Kardashian has put out a new music video. The reality TV personality released a video under her brother-in-law Travis Barker's label. She used a breathy version of her own rendition of Santa Baby, one of the worst Christmas songs ever, and put images of herself crawling through a party in a blonde wig and skin-colored jeggings. I'm not sure if she realizes it either, but her cleavage was totally showing. I'm sure she's going to give that editor an earful. In the video, there's a donkey, Mary and Joseph, people fighting, people raking money, and a bonfire while people play Twister. For what seems like an eternity, Kim crawls through the chaos with her own singing as a backdrop until she finally stops between Santa's legs and looks up to find it's really Macaulay Culkin. The only good thing about the video is that her singing mercifully stops along with the music about midway through, so it's just her crawling with weird images. It's just something you have to see for yourself, folks. You can check it out free on YouTube, but you'll still want your money back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to right around 31 for a high this afternoon with a light northeasterly breeze. Tonight it will be cloudy. There could be a little patchy fog in some spots, low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy for Christmas Day with a high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Mr. Zomers and I sit down to bring you a special Christmas holiday show and happy Hanukkah as well. Lots of Christmas music and reflections on the season. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
All right. Let's light it up. Let's light up. Hour number two, ladies and gentlemen, great to have you with me, no matter where you are joining from in the great state of Wisconsin. Let's do this. We've got one more hour, and then we're off for three nights, but we have made arrangements to have you entertained for the next three nights, and we will go over those arrangements. Again, right now, a couple texts before we get back to Ben Reiser. Jim from Appleton says, I already got it. What he wants for Christmas, that is, a shiny new clean over-air signal for Appleton. Wow, that's a dedicated listener celebrating the new signal in Appleton. Thank you, Jim. And he says, happy, help me, Conrad, happy Christmahana Kwanzaa.
You got it?
I did it. Not nice. Too bad. Yeah. Ben, do you celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas or what
Both.
Route do you go? No, good for you. That's we have our Jewish members of the family will not be with us this Christmas, so I have a feeling we're not probably going to focus on Hanukkah as much, but... We always
have. Have in the past? Have they been with you in previous
Yeah, we've
times?
Had, almost every Christmas, but this year for whatever reason they can't make it, but we had a little menorah, and yeah, we usually, what's the, Kwanzaa, and I don't know what the fourth one is, Conrad, do you?
Something with Swam.
Happy holidays, folks. Paula, Conrad's mom checks in and says, Merry Christmas, Pete and Conrad. We just moved into a new home, and my Christmas wish would be for everything to be organized and put away by someone else. I'll be right over, Paula. All right. Ben Reiser is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about, well, we talked about the Wisconsin Film Festival. We talked about Wisconsin filmmakers, and now we are going to move on to a film that, Ben, it's called Carry On. It's on Netflix. It's gotten like in the 80 percentile of good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but only like 55% of audiences like it. I feel like the audiences are much smarter than the critics on this one. There's so many holes in it. I found myself with logic leaps I couldn't accept.
It's a terrible movie, but I actually blame social media and AI and whatever hell else is going on over on Facebook. And, you know, I'm bombarded now in my Facebook feed by clearly AI written garbage,
right?
Saying like, you know, and it's all like these groups that you've never heard of, and you're like, why am I seeing this? And it's like, Carry On is the best, you know, or they won't even tell you the name because it's all clickbait, right? And it's like Netflix's newest thriller,
right,
has like a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I get all excited about it like an idiot, not reminding myself this is all just crap that's some marketing, you know, viral scam marketing thing. And I watched the thing and it's terrible. I mean, I will say one thing. It's paper. I saw a couple of mildly negative things where they're like, people are saying, and these were real people saying, it's pretty good, but it's no Die Hard 2. And I'm like, Die Hard 2? When did that become a good movie? Like, come on. That's a low bar, Die Hard 2.
Unless
you
know, they
I
mean
saw Die Hard 2 in a theater. I was laughing at that thing. Anybody who saw Die Hard was not into Die Hard 2. Rennie Harlan, come on. But yeah, but this is a mess. You know that guy who's the star of it, Taron Egerton.
Egerton.
He was in that Apple TV show where he has to go to prison to try to get information out of a serial killer. That's a great show, and he's pretty good in it. And I like him in those Kingsman movies. But man, is he hamming it up so badly in this movie. He's not one of those guys you watch on screen and you can say, I see how he's thinking. You know, right. He's one of those guys you watch on the screen and you're like, this guy doesn't seem to have a thought in his head.
I was watching it in a hotel room last weekend with my son, Joe, and we were trying to figure what films the screenwriter cherry picked from. And we came up with Collateral, Jason Bateman as Tom Cruise and Taron Egerton as Jamie Foxx, Paul Blart's Mall Cop, yeah. Die Hard, Nonstop. It literally was like the writer just sat down and pulled a lot of elements. But there was so much stuff. There's so much stuff that didn't make sense. Like the guy who Jason Bateman passes in the airport and then he drops dead of a heart attack. He obviously was poisoned or whatever. Like 10 minutes later in the movie, someone says, "Well, we just got the tox screen back. That was not a heart attack." I'm like, 10 minutes? Really? Yeah. Like enough. There was so much that didn't make sense. It was just lazy. Drove me crazy.
Yeah, it was painful. It really was painful. Like every quote unquote twist was like, this is dumber than the thing that they did 2 minutes ago.
Right. And he's sitting there at his post talking to himself, talking to Jason Bateman on the earpiece. I'm like, nobody
people
notices
are looking
this
at
TSA.
Him.
Yeah.
Right. His boss is looking at him. Why didn't they immediately remove him? This guy looks like he's insane. You're right. He's talking to himself. He's dropping stuff in a desk drawer every 5 seconds. Like, what is going on in this stupid movie?
And it just shows you how a bad script can make a good actor look like an idiot. Like you said, it's just it's inexcusable. All right. So we covered that. What else have you seen in the theater? Anything else in the theaters you can recommend or not recommend?
Well, I saw that movie, Anora, Sean Baker movie. Have you seen it?
It's supposed to be great. No, I haven't seen it.
Have you seen any Sean Baker movies?
What else has he done?
Tangerine, The Florida Project, and his most recent one was Red Rocket. These are all terrific movies.
I have not seen any of them. No.
Watch them all and then go see Anora, or by then it'll be on streaming. I think it's certainly going to be up for Best Picture. It's terrific. Great movie.
Cool.
Very funny.
All right. Good to know.
You will love it. Hey, did you see The English Teacher, that TV series that was on this year?
No, I saw that you watched that. I was going to ask you
about
that.
Write that down. You'll like that. That's a comedy. That's right up your alley.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. What about The Big Clock? You asked me if I had seen that film.
That's it. Well, we were both talking about how many film noirs we've seen recently. Yeah. I don't know what your story is. For me, it's the Criterion Channel, which does like Noir-vember.
Yeah. You know?
Clever pun. So they have tons of noirs, and I try to catch up on ones I haven't seen or watch them over, because you can watch those things again and again. They're all so great.
So great. I know.
Big Clock is really terrific. You should check it out. Okay. Charles Laughton is the heavy.
Oh. And
he's just so great and everything. It's such a good movie. Such a good movie.
You know, I feel like
I watched it, and then I made my wife watch it with me the next night. I was like, hey, you got to see this thing that I just saw.
Oh, wow. I'm the one that gets talked into watching. Like, my wife kind of binges the network TV shows still. And if I want to spend any time with her, I have to watch SVU for the 8,000th time, which is a fine show. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Did you see? I've stumbled onto a film noir I really like called Nightfall.
Yes.
Have you seen that? I'd never heard of it. And I just thought, I love the title so much. I'm going to watch this film. And it was great.
Well, that's funny that you like the title, because I read the title when it was on recently, again on Criterion, and I was like, I don't know that I've seen this. I put it on, and within 5 minutes, I was like, oh, yes, I saw this movie like last year. Can't believe I forgot the title. But yes, it's great.
Yeah, Aldo Ray, I had never seen anything with him. And I'm like, a blonde guy in a film noir? Right. What the heck is this? And then he kind of grows on you, and it's Anne Bancroft is great. It's a good the other one I watched recently, Ben, was Kansas City Confidential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was ahead of its time, but it had like the masks, these guys pulling a heist wore masks.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, is this where the guys that made The Town got the idea? Because it was very creepy looking for a 1950s film noir, I thought.
Yeah, very creepy.
Yeah.
Very, very creepy.
Any Christmas Day films you're looking forward to that come out? A Complete Unknown, Nosferatu, The Fire Inside?
I don't even know what The Fire Inside is. What's that?
It's about a female boxer from Flint, Michigan, who was the first woman to ever win a gold medal. It's reviewing like crazy. and it's like a PG-13 movie or something. It's supposed to be really good.
I mean, I guess I should be excited about the Dylan movie and the Nosferatu remake, but I'm kind of not. I don't know. Again, I'm out of gas. But well, I'm going to be in New York from Christmas through New Year's with nothing to do and hopefully a chance to. You know what I'm going to go see in New York in 70 millimeter is The Brutalist. That's another movie that's coming out soon.
I'm excited for that too.
It already is out, I guess. Not here.
Only it's on.
We're
like
actually
four.
We have the Madison premiere here. Pete, arrange to have your show in Madison the week that we're showing The Brutalist.
When is that?
I don't know. So I think it's in. I think we're starting. I think it's the end of January. I think we're starting our spring semester at Cinematheque.
Oh my God, I would love to see that at Cinematheque. Will you guys do the intermission? It's over 3.5 hours long. They have an intermission. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, that's getting a lot of Oscar buzz too. How are the risers going to spend New Year's Eve in New York?
Well, I'm flying back to Chicago on New Year's Eve because I'm going to see my pals Local H, who I keep mentioning on the show.
Yeah.
They're playing a concert on New Year's Eve, and I'm going to go see them.
Oh, fun.
And then we're going to do a live podcast from Chicago the next night at a bar.
Oh, very nice.
In front of people. Yeah.
What bar do you go to?
G-Man, the Ginger Man next to the Metro.
Oh, I was telling a story about how I used to work. I was a doorman at a place called the Ginger Man on Division Street, right by Rush Street. But I think that's a different, it's not there.
No, that's it. I think that's the same one. It's right by Metro. I think that is Division
Cabaret Metro is like up further north, I think. There's no way it could be the same.
Ginger Man moved locations.
Maybe.
Because this is Ginger Man, but they call it G-Man now.
You know who used to own? I worked there 6 months just checking IDs. The guy that owned it, his last name was Ursay, and he played the dad in 16 Candles. He played the dad of the guy she was marrying. It was like one of those things like, hey, let's throw a bone to this guy. He's a friend of ours, because I don't think he was really an actor. And I was like, that's the guy that owns the Ginger Man. It was the weirdest.
Well, first of all, let me whip out my John Hughes credentials. It's Paul Dooley who plays Molly Ringwald's dad in 16 Candles.
Correct. But
she's not marrying anybody. What other dad is there?
No, her older sister is getting married.
Oh, okay.
And he plays the groom's father, I think. And he's just kind of a putz, you know. But
right.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yep.
Hey, man, I hope you have great holidays, Ben, and travel
you
safely.
Too.
Have fun in your native land of New York. And let's connect after the new year. It's always fun.
All right, good. We'll do a 2024 roundup.
Yeah.
2025.
I would love that. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Great seeing you, Pete.
You too, buddy. That's Ben Reiser. Check out Cinematheque if you're in the Madison area. Great selection of movies. It's free. Ben said something that the seats weren't that great. I actually think they are. I think the whole experience is very old school. And that cool little campus theater smells like the movies. That's how I describe Cinematheque. So check it out. And check out the Wisconsin Film Festival in April of 2025. Really fun, time. Conrad, what else? What am I missing? Kind of, I'm on cough syrup and acetaminophen. You know, I haven't coughed once, have I?
After I said clear your throat, you haven't.
No,
so
you're right.
It's actually.
I want to do an endorsement.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, okay. Most people, when they want to help someone out, they don't need but that's fine.
I do.
You'll take the thank yous. All right. Ed the Diver and Christy Barlumen coming up in the next few minutes. This is Peach Wob and Nightlight. We are coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Ring in the new year at the Lazy Elf Lounge in Madison. Enjoy live music from Saturday Morning Cartel and free champagne jello shots at both 10 p.m. and midnight. Take $2 off Tito's mixers, 16-ounce cans of Bud Light or Miller Lite, just $2.50. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Hungry? The delicious late-night menu will be available until midnight on New Year's Eve at the Lazy Elf Lounge. 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Visit LazyElfLounge.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As voters turn to ballot initiatives to bypass extreme legislatures, legislatures are manipulating initiative rules to protect their partisan power. In 2024 alone, 10 reproductive rights measures qualified for the ballot, with only two failing. Not willing to let extreme agendas get overridden by those pesky voters, legislatures are trying to defang direct democracy by trying to raise constitutional amendment thresholds to 60% or higher and requiring minimum numbers of qualifying signatures from each county rather than a statewide percentage. To keep Ohio voters from passing abortion protections in 2023, the legislature proposed a 60% threshold using a low turnout August special election it had previously deemed too expensive to run. It lost, and abortion rights prevailed 4 months later. In 2024, the Ohio Secretary of State helped derail a citizen-led redistricting measure by rewriting its ballot description to mislead voters. The Ballot Initiative Strategy Center reports Arizonans voted down a measure requiring minimum signatures from every county and another allowing pre-election litigation on measures. North Dakota would have raised the signatures required and winning both a primary and general election. It too failed. Expect more such attacks on direct democracy in 2025. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Monica in Mount Horeb says, I would love a massage, but that will be a present to myself because I know I'm not getting one from anyone else. Not with that attitude, Monica. Shoot Conrad your address. He'll be over shortly. I'm going to go help his mom unpack some stuff, and we can do it that way. Chris from, Chris Casper says, I watched Carrie on last night. It was objectively terrible. How did that ever get to be a thing that made it to fruition? Nothing about it was good. Chris, I could not agree more. And then I think one more here, and we are caught up. And that is Tom from Jackson who says, He says, the cat in Veronica Lake's lap. I feel like he talked about Veronica Lake last week and the cat. Are these texts mixed up? Because we had, remember Tom was texting?
I don't remember too much about that, to be honest.
Well, thanks for paying attention. He says it was a black cat. Thank you, Tom. All right. This is exciting, folks. Two of my favorites are here in the studio now. And you really have no excuse not to be because one of you lives in the building, Christy Barlamont.
Both of us.
Yeah, both of you. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. You're not married yet. Are you telling me you stay over sometimes?
He sleeps on the couch.
Yeah, I sleep on the couch.
And Ed Bieber, also known as Ed the Diver. You guys have, all right, I just want to give people a recap because I think this is kind of funny. You and I first had a text exchange, Ed, probably a year ago-ish. Mm-hmm. I had just met Christy. You would come on the show to talk about New Year's Eve, and you do so many things here, and you were on Mino and the Mayor at the time. And
yeah.
I had just met Ed, and then Ed came on the show, and you guys were here together with Silent Jay, and I'm going, I think there might be something going on here. and then I noticed you guys around a lot, and now you're, like, engaged. So this is, a beautiful story that Nightlight will take full credit for.
There you go, Pete.
Fair enough.
So that's exciting. When's the big day?
We did not set it yet.
Okay.
I mean, no, we've been traveling all over. I mean, Florida, Alaska twice just this year.
Nuts.
The entire Midwest tour we did. Mm-hmm. We've been all over the place. So it's nice actually to kind of calm down and chill right now.
Yeah, and we had people asking for tickets to our wedding.
Seriously. So.
Tickets.
We had people offer venues, like their venues, and I can't tell you how many people have asked.
Are you going to do it at Epic or the Resch Center? We're
We like to have a smaller wedding ceremony, bigger
That's
reception.
That's really cool. Well, I'm thrilled for you guys, and I see some of your posts on Facebook, and I'm like, whoa, oh, they're dating. Oh, they're engaged. Oh, my God. Christy just got her certification for... So let me ask you this, Christy. You were, like, crazy busy before you even met Ed. You're just one of those people. You're like, my joke was always to Conrad and Todd, like, if Christy hasn't gotten back to me in 10 seconds, I'll think something's wrong.
Yes, you always said that.
Yeah, but now you went and got certified to scuba dive so that you can dive with Ed if you want, right?
Yes.
So now you can't get away from her anywhere, Ed.
No, nope, she's underwater. Following me everywhere.
And, like, we can't shake me. But like the first time we went together, it was Ed, Silent G, and myself. And was that the Crivets?
Crivets, oh, the Peshka River, yep.
It was incredible. I found my first wallet. It had debit cards, credit cards, cash, wow, and a driver's license and their health insurance cards and a collector's bottle. It was a Coca-Cola bottle, I think.
Something from Menominee, Michigan, United Beverages.
Sure. Oh, and yeah, it was completely intact too. So it's like that was my first time doing it. I found a wallet in my first bottle, and that bottle already sold.
Within a week, I think it sold, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Because we're starting to like sell some of his bottles because he has an entire bottle room. There's so many bottles.
Is that why you needed it? Okay, so I'll just give some more background. All right. I think this is a fun tidbit too. When I moved from Chicago to Marinette in junior high, we bought this house. It was like twice the size of our house in Chicago. It had a big, huge side yard. It was like the Wiffle, kill the guy with the ball yard. And Ed, as I found out once we started texting last, like a year ago, Ed said, I live right across from your old yard. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, you would have had a great seat for some Wiffle games. But you had this great house there, but you moved.
Yep. Sold it to my son, moved over by Quick Trip. Right. Close to the Lollies there.
Quick Trip in Marinette, right behind Lollies, right?
Yes, literally.
Did you need more room, or did you want to be closer to Lollies?
Quick Trip. So it's like, I got Lollies, Quick Trip, and the post office, and that's kind of like what I work, and then I mainly work my house there, but it's just so cool because it's just like a workhouse. I just work there, live down here, and when I have to ship stuff out or, you know, scrub some bottles or balls or discs, I just go back up there.
Golf balls.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Golf balls.
When you say scrub ball. Okay. I just want to. I wasn't going to go just there. Your fiance had no problem.
just to clarify.
And look at Conrad. He's watching the Packer game. He doesn't even know what's going on.
Are they winning?
I am typing for the podcast.
I'm kidding. I inundated him with work because I couldn't talk earlier. So,
but yeah,
he's editing my Hollywood beats. But yeah, so
it's mostly like his museum. You know, he goes back. It is. It's like a museum. It's not like he lives there, you know?
So you're living in Green Bay.
Yep.
But you were born, I didn't know this, Ed. I thought you were born on a farm and then moved to Marinette.
Yep.
But you were born in Marinette. And then
I was born in the hospital in Marinette.
Oh,
but I was raised on a farm in Lena.
Gotcha.
So, I lived there for 17 years.
So that's Lena. Cool. So where do you like being in Green Bay now? Is it
centrally
located?
I'm not much of a city guy, but I grew up in a country, but I'm mainly just working. Like right this time of year, I'm editing videos all winter.
Yeah.
People ask me, well, why aren't you diving? I'm like, well, I've got the whole year of footage to catch up with, like 70 videos. And each hour of recording takes about 8 hours to edit.
Yeah. So, how about that?
And I got a lot of them. And, you know, it's really cool looking back at those memories and editing them. And then, I make memories by returning stuff later on in the year, return stuff so I can add that in the story, the video that I'm creating.
My guests are Christy Barlamin and Ed Bieber, also known as Ed the Diver. And you guys, so you said you're not even really an above ground guy. You kind of like it underwater.
Yeah.
How did you start doing that?
Just looking for fishing lures that myself and my kids lost, and then noticing all the line underwater and all the trash that people leave or stuff that that blow off the roads. I mean, you look at the roads out here, you know, all these drains in the roads, they lead out to the river. Most of them. So, you know, the stuff in the streets that people throw out there, you know, or stuff that falls off of garbage trucks right in the river or right in the rocks. And Christy and I have done a lot of cleanups along the river right here. Got so much stuff, and it's just amazing. You know, even find needles.
Yeah.
Man.
We actually, being the president of the Downtown Neighborhood Association, we actually won the Phoenix Award, the 2024 Phoenix Award for the downtown.
Nice.
And I was nominated for Leadership of the Year Award. But one big thing to pull back on that, it was 1 hour. We pulled 12 bags of garbage.
Good Lord.
12 bags along the Fox River Trail in 1 hour.
All right. So. Speaking of awards, we've got some exciting news that you guys can share after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. Christy Barlamin and Ed Bieber are here. Ed the Diver. I've got so many questions because I'm fascinated by what you do. So you're going to have to bear with me for the next few minutes. Love that
Always.
You guys are here. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Creston. A government panel on Monday failing to reach consensus on the possible national security risks of a nearly $15 billion proposed deal for Nippon Steel of Japan to buy U.S. steel. That leaves the decision up to President Biden, who has been a longtime opponent of the proposal. On this Christmas Eve, a winter storm moving into the Northeast, bringing ice and snow to several states. Here's ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
Several inches of snow in upstate New York and into northern New England, maybe even up to a half foot of snow. That snow is right to the I-95 corridor by the morning hours. I could see some coatings to maybe an inch all the way down to the coast. We are concerned about winter weather alerts in Philly and Baltimore and D.C. for a glaze of ice, so be super careful with your travel into the morning hours.
In Santa Cruz, California, a man died after he was trapped by a large wave beneath debris on a beach, that amid a major storm that's pummeling the West Coast. 12 people were killed, 4 injured in an explosion in an armament factory in northwest Turkey. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers shut out the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was Green Bay over New Orleans at Lambeau Field, 34-0. I asked safety Xavier McKinney what's been the difference in the Packers' defense.
Our disguise is fooling a lot of these quarterbacks, and especially somebody like him. He's a young quarterback. He hasn't seen a lot of things yet. He hasn't got a lot of experience. So, like, when we disguise him, man, they don't know what they're seeing.
The Saints now fall to 5-10. Quarterback Spencer Rattler after the loss.
Just embarrassing. Put it on myself. Played not good at all. Just didn't have any answers.
NBA, the Bucks over the Bulls, 112-91. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard giving the night off. Bobby Portis with 19 points, 13 rebounds.
Obviously, Dame and Giannis out. I know the severity of the situation. Have to step up, and it's always next man up mentality. So I'm always a confident guy, but I know with those two, I'll have to, you know, shoulder just a little bit more.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about $400 million. Wicked leapfrogged Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not so great reviews. The Brutalist, a 3.5-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on 4 screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to right around 31 for a high this afternoon with a light northeasterly breeze. Tonight, it will be cloudy. There could be a little patchy fog in some spots, low in the mid-20s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy for Christmas Day with a high of 34. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hello, this is Catherine Lake, station manager of WMDX in Madison, and I'd just like to send out a big thank you to the dozens of listeners who tune in to John and Gordy every morning. We know it's not the best show, but they're old and cheap. Happy holidays.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's Christmas Eve. We will have our Christmas cookie exchange at 11:33. The pressure is on. And we'll wrap it up with another holiday edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Get up all day.
Welcome back. What do you want for Christmas? That is our question tonight. Our question of the night. We've had some great answers. It's all been clean, too. They've all been rated PG, PG-13, nothing too terrible. So get in on the fun, folks, and let us know what you want for Christmas. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app or the stream. Just text us. Find a way to talk to us. We'd love to hear from you guys. Christy Barlamin and Ed the Diver are here in the studio. We're talking, we're covering a lot of stuff here, but before I get more into the diving aspect of what you guys do, you have some big stuff going on here. Let's start with Christy. You said you're going to be you won some award.
Yes, the 2024 Phoenix Award for the Downtown Neighborhood Association.
Because every time I see your Facebook stuff, you're posting about downtown Green Bay, and it's just like, if that is not a full time job and you're getting paid for it, it's even more admirable because you're just like so community minded.
I'm not getting paid for it. I do it out of the goodness of my heart. And I like to keep the downtown clean and safe and look out for our residents and make a difference.
I told you she was a good person, Conrad.
What was nothing. Conrad saying?
He was runner up for that award and you trounced him. And then
just
Ed,
right there.
You have some big news too. You're about to get a really huge award and literally fill some big shoes.
Yeah, I just got an email today to me and my agent, Brent, my agency. I got nominated and selected for the Celebrity Impact Award for Do Good Wisconsin at their Gala for Good event. And this is the third year. The first year, Charlie Behrens got the award. Last year, J.J. Watt got the award. And now this year,
and the Diva, I have
good
the Tiger.
Company. Wow. Yeah. That's so what do you have to do for that?
I just clean up garbage, scuba dive, and pick
just
up
do
trash,
what you do.
Make videos and show people what I see underwater. And Christy helps along too.
Well, congratulations. That's really cool. To both of you. Do you have a mantle where you live now?
Yeah.
Somewhere for awards to go? Okay, good.
He's just amazing, though. He melts my heart every day. I'm so proud of him.
Aww.
I cannot wait to call him my husband. I'm serious. As cheesy as that sounds.
Listen, this is going to sound nuts, but I think we can do it. Why don't we marry them here on the air?
Are you ordained?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
What do you have to do? Take his man I'll to be his
quick,
wife?
I'll take a quick course right here.
Yeah, do it. Get a certificate. We'll do it at the end of the show. All right, so we were talking about what you guys do with the waterways. Ed, you've been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. Do you get angry when you see garbage and litter and is diving for it and cleaning up a way for you to deal with your anger? Because you're basically cleaning up other people's trash out of the goodness of your heart. You didn't start, this wasn't a job when you started.
No.
You were just doing it to do it.
Yep.
Talk about that a little bit.
Honestly, I've never been angry once. I'm a pretty calm guy, pretty well preserved, and I feel ashamed of how people are, and, you know, people out there fishing that they're supposed to be, you know, awesome anglers and they care about the environment. They care about handling fish and stuff, but they leave fishing line all over the bank for the birds, the ducks and stuff to get all tangled up in their legs and they end up dying. But, you know, when I'm diving, a lot of people, they're not trying to lose lures on purpose. They're not trying to lose their $8 lure, $10 lure. It happens by accident, but some people are addicted to fishing. They'll stay in the same spot, get stuck on the same rock 15, 20 times, lose all those lures, lose all that line, and it just adds up. And then they just do it over and over again, and they'll leave their lure containers on the banks, their bags from Walmart or Cabela's, Fleet Farm, all over. So it's just a little discouraging, but, you know, it keeps me busy, and it also gets other people outdoors to go out and, you know, clean up, and then they send me photos, say, hey, we went out fishing, but we came out with two bags of trash, and, you know, it's encouraging to see the people doing that.
Yeah, so one person can make a difference, and so many of them contact us, and like you said, send us pictures and say, hey, look what we picked up today. And it'll be like a little family, and they picked up six bags.
Yeah.
So if, like, every person did that, you know.
Yeah. You're a multiplier. Like, that's pretty cool. But the stuff that must drive you crazy, a Mountain Dew bottle and cigarette packet or something like that, I don't think I could.
No. And some of these party spots, like, I go to Lee Lake about three or four times a year. That's where I grew up swimming a lot. There's a rope. People go, they park their boats in the water, but they go and they'll drink and throw bottles, cans in the water, all in this little spot. But it's really clear water. And I love going there because it's beautiful. But, you know, if you're out there swimming, you got your kids there, they're barefoot, you're barefoot, you're going to cut your feet. So I'm out there picking up little chunks of glass, picking up bottle caps, rusty stuff.
Unbelievable.
And that's even beaches with the metal detector. I'll go out and get like old bobby pins that are inch under the sand. That have been there for 50 years, starting to rust. So it's just all kinds of stuff, nails, barbed wire.
Wow. That is
dangerous stuff.
Yeah. So when, all right, Christy, when did you know you wanted to do, like, I could see, you know, like an Ed or whatever, falling in love, whatever.
Yeah.
I've had a crush on him from afar for years now, but no, but like,
what the way you, your yard looked.
Yeah, right. I like a guy who keeps a house tight.
A clean yard.
I like your backyard, Ed.
I've always loved women, but I got to say that yard is incredible. But you, like, it's not like you were already dating.
Yeah. He's so happy and like happy go lucky and positive and kind. And like his eyes light up when he finds something and he can return it to the rightful owner. And the exploring and the treasure hunting, it's like addicting. And right. So when I finally got to, you know, when I might, like I said, my first time finding that wallet in that bottle, I mean, just to see this little end of a bottle stick out and then you're down under the water, it's crystal clear and you pluck it out and you're like, score. It's completely intact. And it's like, I found my first bottle. I found my first wallet. It took him 4 years to find a wallet.
Rub it in.
On really? my first dive, I found a wallet.
You kind of knew where to go, though.
Yeah. She did an awesome job. And you get to see the fish, too.
Oh, yeah. That is awesome. Seeing all the fish. I don't know what half of them are, but.
But I'm fixated on this because you went and got certified. And I you must have had, is that something you ever would have done?
No.
Had you not met Ed? Like,
no.
You never had any interest in it.
I mean, I've thought about it, but I never.
And now,
did
do you think it's cool?
It's absolutely incredible. It's exhilarating. Huh. Yeah,
I feel like I'd be really freaked out if I went underwater.
It's not easy.
Yeah,
it's scary. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to it.
You get used to it, and like a lot of the places they go, they're low vis. You know, the Fox River average time, like if it is clear, like I'll call clear 2 feet that you can see.
Yeah,
but most of the time it's only like 6 inches to a foot. This year was probably worse. But I was looking for a phone down here, complete darkness, 28 feet deep in the river. And I just was holding on to a rope and like going around in circles, feeling with my hands and using my metal detector in the dark. Found a couple old bottles, but no phone. But, you know, a lot of the stuff I do is shallow, low visibility.
Right.
Yeah. It literally went from green to brown to black, the water. That was the only time I was ever petrified watching him. Because Walter and I were with him that day. And it was by the Foxy Paddler. That guy lost his phone. And I've never seen a scarier video. He's just literally feeling around. I mean, there's cars down there. There's bicycles.
Cars?
I didn't find one, but there's vehicles. There's all kinds of stuff down there.
Just people that had too much to drink and
there's all
kinds. Well, the history of that river, so much has been thrown
in there. I
know it's
got a reputation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you ever been down there and it's murky, like you said, and you have 6 inches visibility, and then all of a sudden you're looking like at a muskie or something like that?
Sturgeon.
They'll come and they bump right up against you. Up by the dam and dip here. Like if I'm just out there looking for lures, you got your face down in the rocks, you're looking for shiny stuff. All of a sudden, something bumps your arm, and then you kind of bump it back, and it doesn't move. It's just a big old sturgeon, and they get close to you, and it's just like, okay, I had enough of this.
So, yeah, they're just kind of like, hey, how you doing?
So what do you do? What the first time that happened, you must have like, well, I don't know.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
But I mean, my biggest worry is if they have a lure on them or a couple lures from people fishing, snagging them, but then that lure gets stuck on them, the line gets ripped off. So my biggest worry is I'm coming up against my suit or my leg, and all of a sudden I get hooked on them, and then they take me for a ride or rip me up a little bit.
Taking you to the St. Lawrence Seaway up back to the Atlantic Ocean or something.
Hold on.
You just reminded me of something. My guests, by the way, are Ed the Diver and Christy Barlamet, two award-winning guests who are here in the studio right now at Nightlight. My sister said several months ago during the summer, she's like, oh, I lost my phone at the Menominee Harbor. Oh. I was like, oh, that's terrible. And she's like, oh, yeah. And someone said, no, somebody, Julie, found a diver and he pulled the phone out for him. I'm like, what? She did? Like, who finds a diver? And then a couple days later, I go, it was Ed the Diver. Like, you got my sister's cell phone out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty
cool.
And
I was like, what are the odds? Like, I just kind of met you. And then and then your daughter shows up to deliver DoorDash while she's in town visiting. I'm like, all of a sudden, Ed the Diver's all around
everywhere.
Me. It's so funny.
Did you ever dream about him?
No.
Thank
I dream about his clean yard.
Okay. All right.
It is cleaner now.
Fair
puts
enough.
His trash cans out and takes them right in after. So, all right, what I'm just going to ask this because I'm obsessed with underwater stuff. I just want nothing to do with it personally. But what is the creepiest thing you've seen? Was that the sturgeon?
No, I've seen, you know, a lot of, like, you see dead fish or whatever, and like using the Fox River, you're diving, all of a sudden you'll see dead fish here. Then you start focusing, you're like, there's dead fish everywhere. And you're like, oh, I wonder how these fish are dead. You know, am I going to end up like this? Oh, you know, are they soaking in something that's dangerous in the mud, or, you know, is that killing them?
Right.
And here I am just walling around in it, you know, picking stuff up and stirring the bottom up. And, you know, to get all the line and lures out and you get bicycles. And I got an outhouse door out by last year by the pier there at Voyager Park.
People tosses that in the river?
I don't know. It's pretty heavy.
I don't want anyone to have privacy from now on.
Okay.
Party's over.
But no, I mean, the big fish and stuff. You'll find bones here and there. But,
all right. So I'm just going to put this out there. It's probably going to happen the more you dive. Yeah. You're probably going to see some type of human remain. I don't know what the probability scale is there, but it could happen, mm-hmm. right? What do you do if you call the authorities, I assume, but what do you do?
I have a bone chart at home and I've been looking at, but usually I can tell, like I found a, you know, the, what is it, radial and ulna. I found those kind of together. But up in the Menominee River, a lot of these rivers, there's a lot of, you know, Indian burial and stuff. So I just leave them.
We had tumbled the urn too.
Yeah, I found an urn in the Shawano River by the Shawano Dam. It's not the Shawano River. It's the Wolf River in Shawano, Wisconsin. And it was just like in a
cross.
It was a cross. And I was like, oh, it's a cool little cross. You hang it on the wall. And I took it out and, you know, I shook it and it sounded solid. But after the water drained out, I got it home. I heard there's a bag in it or something. I'm like, oh, no. And then a couple people commented, are you sure that's not an urn? And it ended up being that. So we brought it back and tossed it back in where I found it together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we each just held on and put it back in.
Yeah. I was like, let's throw it together. So we go like this and she just whips it. And I'm like,
But it's still the same body of water.
A little mini ceremony and the ashes go flying all over the place. So that's really cool. So have you inspired, are there other people like you now, Ed, or like that are following in the footsteps of both of you that want to clean waterways?
Yeah.
And
a lot of people are sending messages and I get people from all over the world ask me, like, you know, I love what you're doing. How do I get started? This and that. And it's just so much, like so many people ask me all over, well, how do I get certified? How do I do this and do that? And I'm like, well, just please just watch my videos.
Yeah.
I don't have time to explain it, you know, step by step.
Yeah.
And then it gets kind of overwhelming learning how to say no to things that are really time consuming.
Right.
And, you know, I donate a lot every year, but now I'm trying to like make.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO is...
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Bill Clinton under observation at MedStar Georgetown Hospital in Washington, D.C. He was admitted for testing after developing a fever yesterday evening. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze is in Washington with more.
Clinton is 78 years old and has faced a series of health scares since he left office, including a successful quadruple bypass operation in 2004 and another heart procedure in 2010. His spokesperson tells us he is hopeful that the former president will be home by Christmas.
The decision on whether to let Japan plans. Nippon Steel by U.S. Steel is being left up to President Biden now that a powerful government committee has failed to reach an agreement on whether the deal would pose a security risk for the United States. A strong storm pounding the West Coast, causing part of the Santa Cruz, California wharf to collapse. Two people had to be rescued. Elsewhere in California, a man was killed when a high wave slammed into a pile of debris, trapping him. That happened at Sunset State Beach in Monterey Bay. This is ABC News.